This is a People First Radio podcast.
A Vancouver Island author is exploring the story of a mother caught in a cycle of intergenerational violence. Most Grievous Fault from Meg Todd tells the story of Crystal and her teenage daughter, Becky. The story deals with difficult subject matter, including abuse, rape, addiction, and poverty. Todd says it was important for her to address the difficult topics in the book head-on, but without judgment. I spoke with her about her debut novel.
My name is Meg Todd, and I live in North Saanich. I lived in Vancouver for over 20 years, and before that, the prairies and outside of Calgary. And I teach exercise and have done that for over 40 years. And I write, and I started writing quite late in life. And I'm wanting to talk today, or excited to talk about the novel that's just come out.
That novel, Most Grievous Fault, could you tell me maybe where did it come from?
Yeah, I can try. I am a radio listener. I like to have the radio on a low volume all the time. And I don't catch the whole story, but I get little snippets of things that run and play in my mind. And of course, on a news clip or on a story, you're getting only part, especially in news, you're getting one angle of a story. And I always find myself thinking, how did they get there? What happened before that? How did they get there? And always thinking also, how will they move forward? And a particular news story, a long time ago now, 15 years maybe, caught my interest that way, a hard story to listen to. And I just found myself thinking about the person whose tragedy it was, and also the family, and thinking then also about things that were around me in my own life. And eventually what came out was I wrote, and I was in the MFA program at UBC at the time, and I wanted to try and write a novel. I had written just short fiction before, and I didn't really know how to approach a novel. So I took this character who was imaginary, of course, and wrote a diary. And I wrote a diary for a year, her diary for a year, but not, I didn't write for a year, but I wrote it as quickly as I could. And when I came out of that, I had a manuscript, but it needed a lot of work, and it didn't have any shape, and it didn't have proper structure. And so together with my advisor, Linda Svensson, we worked through that. But I realized right away with talking to her that the mother of this, of Becky, in fact, would be a much better protagonist because she is daughter and mother. And so the story then, I also have a background in, I studied religious studies as my undergraduate degree, and I always have had an interest in religion. So I want to put those two things together, a tragedy for this young person and a religious sort of setting that is foreign to them. And so I rewrote it, and it still didn't work. It was very difficult. And I put it aside and thought, I'm not going back to it. It just didn't work. But I sort of had no choice. A Crystal was created, and she was there, and she stayed with me. And I owed it to her. So I had to remove myself from her. So I had written it in the first person. So I was very close, first with Becky, and then very close with Crystal. And then I had to back away from Crystal so that I could make it easier for the reader. She's not an easy character. She's not an easy person to be close to.
So you've got this novel, it's about Crystal, who's in her late 20s. She's the mom of Becky, who's maybe 13, 14. You are writing about some really, really heavy issues, intergenerational trauma, things like fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. How do you approach writing about such heavy subject matter?
I think to as much as possible, pull myself in as close as I can. So to try to embody that a little bit, to feel it. And I have known people who have this condition, or obviously there are a lot of hard stories all around us, all of us, and it's you don't have to go far to be finding somebody who is struggling. And I find it interesting and important to try to understand what is happening. So a person like Crystal, she doesn't have the tools that the next person might have, because her mother was an alcoholic and also abusive, and she comes into the world already crippled, already having a hard time before she's done anything. So to try and imagine is what I had to do, to be this person, and recognizing that there's a little bit of that in all of us. So finding that in me and then letting that kind of bloom and be a bigger part of me while I'm writing the book, and being Crystal's best friend. I had to be her best friend while I wrote the book.
You suggested that you had written this manuscript. It was from the point of view of the daughter and her diary, and then you kind of had put it down. It was something that needed a lot of work, and then you just felt this character of Crystal, the mom, calling you. What do you feel it was that was calling you and tugging at you and getting you to come back and write this and change the perspective?
I think I hadn't been fair to her. I think I hadn't, I had allowed her kind of angry self, which I think is justifiably angry, and all of her flaws, I think are understandable flaws given her circumstance. I hadn't allowed myself to kind of home in on the pain, and to find that she to really think a lot about her hopes and her dreams, and how the things that she is hoping for, the things that she is dreaming about, and the things that she wants are the things that we are told every day are the things we ought to hope for and ought to dream about and ought to want, like a car and a two-bedroom apartment, a little bit of space, a little bit of privacy, maybe a little bit of money, and love. She wants all the things that every advert tells us we need, but she doesn't know how to get them. So she is manipulative. She considers herself a victim, and she can't get beyond that. So I had to find a way to empathize. I had to step right into her shoes, and I think I was being judgmental in the previous attempts to write the book. I think I was showing a character who wasn't sympathetic enough to the reader, and she isn't sympathetic, but to write a non-sympathetic protagonist is hard. The reader doesn't want to read that. It's hard for a reader to read about an unlikable person, because you don't want to be with them, supporting them. I need the reader to support her, so I needed to do that.
A lot of very difficult and unpleasant things happen in the novel to the characters, and I'm wondering about that from a few different points of view. You were just talking about maybe the reader's perspective there. What was it like for you to be kind of the pen that this universe is being created through, to be writing all of these very unpleasant circumstances?
I would get very hot. My whole head sometimes, and then have to come out of it, because I had to get in. I had to be in there. I suppose it's a bit like acting, that you have to step into the role. So, I am someone who likes to step into someone's shoes. I am someone who I like to understand people's stories. I like to know why they are the way they are. And so how can I, how was it? It was, again, I guess it's about finding the little bits in you where you have some resentment, for example, towards something, and then you allow your mind to open up there and see what would happen if you acted out on that resentment. And so take away the controls that I might naturally have and see where my brain will run with that. And then obviously in many places have to pull it back or tweak it and rework it with other eyes on it, or recognizing when things are working or when they're not working. And I think part of it is to make it a believable thing, not to give too much, because number one, it's too hard for the reader, and number two, the reader is better off if there's a lot of it that they have to pull from their own experience of life. And that comes into it in terms of how the story is a meeting place between the writer and the reader. So I'm putting in so much and asking the reader to add the rest.
There were a number of times where I was reading through the book and I was thinking, "Oh no, don't do this. It's going to have negative consequences." And I've heard of this idea in writing that once you kind of create these characters, maybe you have like the cue card version of how the story is going to play out, but once you get down to actually writing it, things change, and sometimes it feels like the characters are making their own decisions. Did you feel like when you were writing this, did you feel like you were making the choices? Did you feel like Crystal was making the choices? You feel like some other kind of third force was making some of these choices that I imagine someone reading would be like, "No, don't do this."
Yeah, there's a lot of no, don't do this. Crystal is her own person. Crystal is a real person. She is with me, a little less so now because now she's out in the world, but she has been with me for a long time. And in fact, when I turned back to the book after putting it away, it was because I was walking. I was in the forest in the Endowment Lands at UBC, and it was in my head, and I suddenly realized I was talking to Crystal, and I thought, oh, talking away in my head, and there she was. So she just was there with me, I guess your character becomes a force. Jean in the book, Jean is Jean, and I can't move Jean around. Jean is who Jean is. They all are. They're all. I mean, it's more real. The book is more real to me than stories of family members who I don't exactly know. I mean, extended family where I don't know exactly where they're living, or I know where they live, but I don't know what their home is like, and I don't know what their daily life is like. I know Crystal and Becky. I know everything about them.
This is People First Radio. My guest is Meg Todd. The Vancouver Island author is speaking with me about her debut novel, Most Grievous Fault. It tells the story of Crystal, who is trying to navigate life in poverty with her teenage daughter, Becky. Were there any maybe perspectives you were hoping to bring to some of the issues that are covered here, things like intergenerational trauma and family violence?
I didn't set out to write anything like this, and it's very typical for me that I will just start and just write and finish it, and then have to sort out what it is that I've written. I don't. I think that the things that are going on around us in the world, different people are moved by different things. So some people are particularly passionate about political instability, and other people about perhaps refugee issues or environmental issues. And I guess the thing that resonates with me is personal tragedies, personal hardship, the question of how do we move forward through illness, through just so many things that are out of our control. I remember thinking this when I was very young, thinking about that inherent unfairness of life, that one person is born into a good situation with a lot of support, and the next person is born into not a great situation, and that those are things that you have no control, and that it seems so unfair. And I find it very interesting to think about that and think to put myself into another person's shoes. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that this is just the thing that trickles through me the most. This is the news story that just kind of hurts me. So that's the thing I want to examine. Whether it's a physical illness or a mental illness or being a victim, not having control, not having control of your mind, not having control of your body. Those are the things that kind of just ripple around in my head. So they come out somehow in the stories. I don't intend for them to.
What do you think on that front is the way a novel explores some of these issues? You know, you talked about how this is something where you started out and you wrote and it's out there, and then maybe you start to like untangle some of the threads after. I'm wondering if you could tell me about just specifically the format of a novel or of fiction in exploring something like personal tragedy. What do you think the way we should view that is?
I suppose that the advantage of a novel is, and I for myself in any case, while I was writing it, everything around me trickled in. Every little thing trickles into the novel. There's so much space there. There's so much room to build and to create and to make this, enormous oil painting with all the different layers and layered and layered, and the underpainting is all there. Everything is there. And so you have room to explore in this way the nuances, because you can just tweak things just slightly to kind of catch this one thing and also to catch that one thing. Whereas when you're talking with one person who's dealing with one thing, it's a little more narrow. So in other words, like in a nonfiction or in real life, we don't have room to put quite as much in, and we don't have room to be looking at other perspectives. So to have the full story of a second or third character, when I mean it's there, but in that conversation with one person. So I think you are creating a whole landscape that gives you just so much room to explore multiple themes.
Did you ever, while you were writing this, have the urge to maybe just like make some nice things happen to Crystal and give her some big wins?
I thought she had some big wins. Like, I think when she hears her daughter sing, those moments when she has this incredible tenderness, despite herself, tender feelings towards her daughter, and I think she does have good moments. It's just that they, for us, maybe don't seem like good moments because it's all relative, right? But her life, I think she maintains hope. And she doesn't fully despair, and that's already a good thing. And she feels good about her work. So when she's at work, she is really happy. And she's doing a job that, we don't think of as a great job, but she's good at it. And if you can be good at something, it doesn't really matter what it is. If you can be good at it, that's a big thing. That's a big thing to help you through your life.
I'm wondering about the setting of the novel. It was a sort of You know, there was no line where the book said, we are in this town. But there were little markers here and there. You know, at one point, they go have a celebratory meal at a White Spot. Can you tell me about the place in this novel?
Mm-hmm. Well, I did. Yeah, I do have a place in my head, you know, for each of the things. But I didn't really want... I think that the issues in the book, the problems, are pretty widespread, and I think there are a lot of crystals in the world. And I think I didn't want to sort of, you know, pin it down in one place. But of course, for me, I had to have some geographical parameters mentally. So yeah.
What were some of the elements from the novel that were maybe autobiographical in nature? What did you pull directly from your own life and experiences?
I did volunteer in the Downtown East Side, like Jean does. It was in the late 80s. And I think that has really stayed with me. We handled, you know, people's social security checks. I think they probably have a different name now, and helped them to find housing, and helped them, and gave them a little bit of money, a little bit at a time, so that the money went to, you know, their meals. So as much control as the people needed, or as much as they needed us to take. I was just volunteering, and I was young, and I just found it, it was profound. People who were, it's not that the people were, they just had, some of them had just chosen not to lead the same life that is the life that we consider to be the normal life. They had chosen to do this. Why had they chosen this? You know, was there something, was there a mental illness, some kind of instability, something? And there were also, you know, people with addictions and people with mental illnesses that were that we knew. But yeah, it that certainly was there. And also, I am familiar with a very traditional Catholic school. I went to a Catholic high school, non-traditional, but I am not Catholic, and but I'm familiar with Catholicism, and I think that's about it.
You talked there about the idea of choices, and I'm wondering about that in the context of the novel and some of the things, you know, if people were to view some of these experiences as choices, to what extent did you feel like, say, Crystal was making these choices? To what extent did you feel like circumstances had made some of these choices for Crystal? And just what's your reflection on that whole idea of choice versus social determinants of health?
Yeah, well, I think we are always told, well, there's always a choice. And I think there is always a choice, but for some people, the choice is very narrow. So, and it's exactly as you're saying, that those social determinants, and so for some of these people who I saw and knew that they had support from their family, despite the fact that they were living on the street, and they even maybe had housing, but they chose not to be in the housing. There is a reason for the choice, right? But I didn't know the reason. And so that is really part of something that I want with Crystal, is to try to understand her rather than judge her. That to me is just a fundamentally important thing. If we understand someone, even if we disagree with them, we open the door for communication. Even if we don't agree with their lifestyle, or we don't agree with the whatever it is, political mindset, anything, if we try to understand, we can discuss and we can communicate. I find it, I think that judging is without trying to understand. I think that's very difficult and something that I don't think is healthy for society. I think we need to understand. It's our duty to try to understand. So that was really important to me in the book. And also I think with working down in the downtown East Side, I wanted to understand their stories. I kept thinking, all of these people, you know, they start as a helpless infant. And how did they get here? This I found very interesting.
I'm wondering about that idea of exploring some of those worlds again in the context of a novel. You know, it's not a memoir or a first person account, and you know, nowhere does it claim to be. I guess, what do you feel like you did to embody Crystal and to know how to be Crystal?
Yeah, because it's sort of the question of but sometimes you know we talk about with fiction that are you the person to write this story, right? Yeah, I understand that question. I think it's very close to us, addiction all around. You don't have to look far to see it. You don't have to look far to see someone who is troubled. And certainly, I have seen a lot. I have a lot of people around me who struggle. And I have seen very sad stories. And I think, you know, we say 6 degrees of separation, but I think with things like mental health and addiction, it's much closer. It's 1 degree. And if you think it's not around you, I don't think you're looking closely enough at the people around you. There are many forms of addiction, and it's what I've written is fiction, but I'm drawing on the many, many, many stories around us. It's pervasive. I don't think I have to reach far.
You're tuned in to People First Radio. I'm speaking with Meg Todd. She's the author of Most Grievous Fault, a book which tells the story of a mother trapped in a cycle of intergenerational violence. How have things been for you since you got Crystal's story maybe out of you and onto the page and now out into the world coming soon?
Yeah, that is a really great question. And I was just thinking about it today. I was thinking to myself, it's that I've lost control of her. She's now away from me. She's no longer mine. I can no longer sort of, you know, say, Crystal, come on, pull yourself together. I have lost control of Crystal. So now she's out in the world, and it feels a little frightening, you know.
Frightening in what way?
I think she's vulnerable, and I'm kind of scared for her. And I guess I felt like I was protecting her. It sounds very strange, but you know, yeah, that's how I feel. She's on her own now.
So you've let go, you've suggested, you know, you don't have control over Crystal's story anymore. But what would you hope that people who read that story take away from it? What do you hope they do with it?
I hope it, that's a, I mean, I don't know, and I don't really have any hope, but I feel like if we can see a little bit of ourselves in a person like Crystal, and I think if we can have hope, even if it's such a hard story, I think at the same time, For me, anyways, I have hopes for Crystal.
Did you feel like, with the heaviness of some of the moments in this novel, were there things you maybe did to take care of yourself, or are there things you think a reader might want to do to take care of themselves as they read this?
I think I would have a much harder. I'm not really sure. I don't. I can't. I don't think I particularly. I mean, sometimes I had to take some space, just time, and but then it also comes down to the very fine sentence by sentence work where I'm not so much looking at the bigger picture. I'm looking at, is this paragraph working together with the next paragraph? So on the writing level, it's a very pleasant task that I quite enjoy. So once that big picture was done, which was quite a long time ago, I'm more focused on moving the parts around a little bit. So that is the more kind of recent memory that I have of it. And as far as a reader goes, I think, I am a reader who likes to read a hard story. I like a story that is really churns something up for me. But I know some readers don't. They like to have a very, light story.
I'm thinking, for example, if Crystal's story as laid out in the book was something that was a real story and a news organization was somehow going to tell this in the form of a long form article, I'm just imagining that there would be, a number of content warnings ahead, and at the bottom of the page, there might be a list of various resources that someone could contact for help. And I'm wondering if that is what you make of that idea or that suggestion.
It did come up. It did come up. I haven't seen the book yet, so I don't actually know if there's a content warning. I was away when during the last bit of the editing, so I'm not actually sure how that was settled. So I'm curious to find out. So, it of course, some people are very much in favor of content warning, and other people are not. So I think I myself. Think that we ought to be challenged, and it's our responsibility to know when we have to be careful. But I suppose with the book, it does in the back though. I think that the book jacket, like the cover copy there on the back, I think is pretty clear that the themes are heavy. So. I think that's there for a reader. And I think that when we try to shelter ourselves too much, this doesn't hold true for everyone, of course, because it really depends on your own background, your own whatever you're dealing with. But I do believe it's all part of communication. It's all part of making ourselves understood to each other. And again, I just go back to that's why I feel like trying to understand people is what we should really think about. Rather than judging, rather than closing the door, I want to open the door. I want to open the door.
Meg Todd is author of the forthcoming novel, Most Grievous Fault.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.